Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from the God who loves you and has redeemed you through Jesus the Christ. Amen. Nearly 40 years ago, Carl Menninger wrote the book, Whatever Became of Sin? Today, that's a better question than ever. Menninger argued that the notion of sin had all but disappeared, giving way to self-help and positive thinking, assuring us that we were all basically okay. Well, sin, of course, is a theological term, not a psychiatric diagnosis. People often think of Roman Catholics and their penchant for guilt. But among Protestant Christians, we Lutherans are considered specialists on the topic of sin. Not because we're particularly good at it, although we can hold our own with the best of them, but because theologically, we make the presence of sin in each one of us a central figure in our understanding of human nature. That sounds a lot like the doctrine of original sin, whereby the church has held that humanity's fall from innocence in the garden sets up a never-ending problem for people in every succeeding generation. We're born into sin, according to this view, hopelessly caught in the web of human wickedness. Beginning with Augustine, the church has taught that the sin of Adam was passed on as an inheritance, a biological fact of life. Indeed, I was born guilty, the psalmist writes in Psalm 51, a sinner when my mother conceived me. Adam and Eve's fall from grace represents all human beings. The psalmist, with his gloomy self-image, may simply be pointing out that every one of us, merely because we're human, has to live with our capacity to sin. Like the human beings in Genesis, we can expect to be tempted to wander from God. We can expect to be tempted to rebel. We can expect to be tempted to try to put ourselves at the center and distance ourselves from God. It's what we humans do. The Apostle Paul sums it up in our scripture reading this morning from Romans. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So let's go back to the garden, back to Genesis where it all begins. The story opens with God bringing order to the windy, brooding chaos. God sees moment by moment as it unfolds that the creation is good. The day, the night, the water, the earth, plant life, creatures in the sea, on the land, in the air, all creation is good. At the end of the day in the story, including the day on which human beings are formed, we are told that God pauses, takes a look at it all, and sees that it is very good. Life begins in goodness. Life begins in a garden. That garden is not destroyed when human beings give in to temptation. The garden is still there. The goodness is still there. We are exiles from it. The doctrine of original sin would have us believe that human beings are essentially sinful. The earlier doctrine of creation rejects that view, seeing human beings as essentially good but broken. Good, but flawed. In either case, it's the grace of God that saves us. There is nothing we can do to earn more love from God or to cause God to love us less. And whether we like it or not, the capacity for sin exists in each one of us, side by side with the goodness and light of God's love. To have sinned is to miss the mark, like an archer with a misaimed arrow. It's to have gone astray, to have wandered off track. Faithful living begins when we name our brokenness, when we name our tendency to wander from God. In my own devotional life, I feel as if my daily prayer is incomplete if I don't take time to acknowledge that I fall short of God's hope for me. Every time we gather for worship here at Mount Olivet, we acknowledge that we have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We name our shortcomings by confessing them together before God. Barbara Brown Taylor tells an amazing story of a huge old sea turtle that she watched crawl out of the ocean to lay and bury her eggs. And then by some navigational error, that turtle wandered into the dunes instead of back to the sea. By the next day, the turtle was all but baked, her head and flippers caked with dried sand. So Taylor found a park ranger who came by jeep. He flipped the turtle on her back and wrapped tire chains around her front legs, and then took off, yanking her body so that her mouth filled with sand and her neck bent far back, ready to snap. At the ocean's edge, the ranger unhooked the chains and turned her right side up, and finally, waves came, taking her safely back to sea. Perhaps when we've wandered way off track, coming back may be as painful and difficult for us as it was for that turtle. I look through the Gospels again this week to remind myself that Jesus actually mentions sin only a handful of times, but he spends a lot of time and pays a lot of attention to restoring and healing people. And to the likes of the prodigal son, the lost coin, and the lost sheep that return. So it seems to me that he's a lot more interested in return than retribution, more interested in forgiveness than fault finding, more interested in goodness than guilt, and more interested in loving us than leaving us. To be justified or made righteous is simply to be set right with God through Jesus' death and through faith, making our relationship and our future with God secure. Are some sins worse than others? Well, I have some Christian friends who seem to have created a hierarchy of sin, that some sins are worse than others. And when I was growing up, my Roman Catholic friends spoke of venial and mortal sins, the former being only slight infractions, like an offside penalty that costs you only 5 yards, while the latter are more serious, more like a clipping penalty that'll get you 15. So whether a sin is venial or mortal, I'm not sure that matters as much to God as it does to our neighbor. We cannot escape our own humanity, which always wants to break with God. Paul is right. Only the grace of God saves us. And God's Holy Spirit, which dwells within each of us, enables us to live lives for which we were created by God and redeemed by Christ to live. This is the heart of the gospel. We can never put out the light of God's goodness that shines in us because we are human beings made in the image and likeness of God. Jesus left us a meal by which to remember and experience him. He left us a meal of bread and wine, the simple things of life that we can touch, taste, and feel. We call this a sacrament, the outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Visible words, the way God says to us, I love you, I forgive you, and I am with you always. Thanks be to God. Amen.